step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake we came born. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow. Say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon.
There's a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and it's a prayer that we pray often here together in worship. This prayer, my family prays for mealtime every Sunday. We made that our practice. It's the Lord's Prayer. You know the one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, there's one particular part of that that you might wonder about. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. In life, we all have questions. Some of us have tough decisions that we have to make. Should I go on and get further education or not? Should I consider leaving this job and going to another one? Is it time to sell this house and go to another one? Is it time to go bigger or go smaller? When my wife and I were younger, before we had kids, we had a big question. We had been getting involved more and more and more at our church, and I started wondering, do you think I'm called to be a pastor? I remember where we were one of the first times we had that conversation. It was on the main level of our house. We were standing in between the kitchen and the living room, right by the stairs that go up to our bedroom. I remember having that conversation. What if I'm supposed to be a minister? What is that going to mean for us? Well, it means that I'd leave my job. It means that I would do 5 more years of schooling. Yes, I have 9 years of schooling after high school. For the young people here in the room, that's a lot of education time spent. So tough decisions. We all face those. What about tough situations? We deal with tough situations. Maybe you've got yourself into a hole and you're feeling trapped. You're feeling stuck. Maybe this is a particular sin that you're dealing with, or maybe it's an addiction or some sort of an issue in your life. You're in this tough situation. What does it mean when we pray, "Thy will be done"? Or what about your tragic stories? I know I've got tragic stories, and I know that you have tragic stories too. What does it mean, "Thy will be done," when I'm standing with my aunt and my uncle and my 16-year-old cousin is in a coma from a car accident that she was in, and we were praying, "Lord, may she come out of this coma, and may she do so without brain damage, permanent brain damage." But at the same time, we're praying, "Thy will be done." My cousin has lived in a facility for the last, since she was 16 years old, she's probably approaching 40 now. And she has permanent brain damage. She's not able to feed herself today. So we ask, what is God's will? What is God's will for our lives, for our future, for those that we love? And with that question, we wonder, can we know God's will? Or is it a great mystery? Can we know God's will, or is it a great mystery? Is it some hidden thing? When we pray, "Thy will be done," is it a great mystery? Well, today we are going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and I pray that we gain some insight from God's word when we think about God and His will. So, let us join together in prayer, and then we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Gracious God, we thank You for Your holy word. Lord, we know that this is Your infallible, Your inspired word that You spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit to the prophets and to the writers of these books that are found in the Bible. Lord, we trust that these words are truly from you. Lord, help us as we continue to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Now, before I really get into this text, I want to lay some groundwork. I want to base ourselves in some truth. And I listed these 1 through 5. Number one, we will never know God's will if we don't know God. That's kind of a given, right? We will never know God's will if we don't know God. Number two, we will only know God through Jesus. We will only know God through Jesus. Number three, we will only know Jesus through faith. When we think about what Christ has done, we receive death through Adam, but we are alive in Christ. This is your call to join us. If you have been far from God, this is your call to join us. To join us in this walk with Jesus. Instead of walking in death through Adam, be alive with Christ. Receive God's incredible mercy that he is offering us. And how do we receive it? The first step is to repent. And if maybe you have a friend that you would like to tell them about Jesus. You're not sure where to start, how to lead them to Christ. We start off with repentance. This is what John's call was out in the desert before Jesus came. We all need help because of sin. And we repent. Repent is a big word for saying we're sorry to God. That's what repentance is. Kneeling down, closing our eyes, and praying to God, our Father in heaven, Lord, I'm sorry for all that I have done to displease you. Please grant me forgiveness. So we repent. Along with that, we talk about turning away from evil and turning towards the Lord. Along with this also is believing. Believing that Jesus is the Savior. As we know through God's Word, trusting Jesus, and then setting our eyes on Jesus by following Him our whole lives through, from that point on and forever. That's my story. I remember going to the church service with my wife. I remember thinking how wild it was that there are there's all these people that really believe that Jesus is Savior. I thought, wow, this is something. And then I remember sitting in the car, I'm trying to remember which car it was. Might have been a Dodge Stratus. It was not a good purchase. But I was sitting in the car, and that repentance and that turn happened just like that. I thought, you know what? I'm supposed to be a Jesus follower. That means that I'm going to have to change my ways so that I'm in conformity with God's ways. And the change was just like that. Now, was I all cleaned up all at once? Absolutely not. Am I all cleaned up now? No. Jesus is still sanctifying me. He's working out His holiness in me day by day. And it'll reach its completion when I am made new. When I am resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected. All right, so number one, we will never know God. If we don't know God, we'll never know His will unless we know Him. Number two, we only really know God through Jesus. Number three, we will only know Jesus through faith. Number four, this is your call to join us. And finally, number five, you won't be alone. If you turn to Jesus, you will not be alone. We have a promise that everyone who turns to Christ will receive the Holy Spirit. This is God living in our hearts so that we are never, ever alone. So I just wanted to touch some of those basics before we get into the text here. Now that we've talked about what it means to put our trust in Christ, what does it mean if we're working with the power of the Holy Spirit in us to live into Christ, to live into life with Him? We know we're alive now with Christ. What do we do? Well, the text tells us that now, because we're with Jesus, we can offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We can offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We can be holy and pleasing to Christ. And now we can truly worship. We can offer our bodies as living sacrifices, we can be holy and pleasing to Christ, and we can truly worship. There's a paraphrase that I have here from one of our church fathers. His name is John Calvin. He lived about 400 plus years ago. This is what he says about the Christian life. He says, "Aim at purity, persevere in true holiness, and abandon former sins. Aim at purity, persevere in true holiness, and abandon former sins. And like I said, we will not do this perfectly. But if Christ is our Lord, it shall be our goal. Rather than living in accordance with the patterns of this world, we're going to follow Jesus. That's our call as Christians. So, what patterns of this world do you hold on to? In what ways have you been conforming to this present evil age? What patterns are you holding on to? Maybe for you, it's out of control spending. I see YouTube shorts come up on my YouTube app from time to time. And there's a young man, he's a financial guy, his name's Caleb Hammer. And he has young people come onto his YouTube show. And he does audits on them. And they, they'll come in and they'll say, well, I'm 21 years old. Let's see, my debts right now, I bought a $75,000 pickup. I have $30,000 in credit card debt. And they go on and on and on and on. And he just like throws the book at them. You know, he's just like, come on, what is going on with this out of control spending? You don't make the kind of money you need to do this. It's a pattern of our present evil age, the pursuit of more and more and more, mortgaged to the hilt, insane payments. Other patterns of this world that we are currently dealing with is our culture of sex. Casual sex, couples out of wedlock, pornography, all of it normalized, but out of step with the patterns that Christ has laid out for us. Or what about issues of control? This feeling deep down that you have to manipulate other people and situations to get what you want. There are others we could go through too: pride, laziness, worry, fear. We could talk about some of these different patterns of our present evil age for quite a while. But you get the point. What patterns are you holding on to? What patterns do you go back to time and time again? Which of these patterns are triggered by stress? Instead of finding good outlets for stress, you move to these patterns of sin. Our call is, as John Calvin said, aim for purity, persevere in true holiness, and abandon former sins. This is all part of the renewal process that's talked about here in Romans. We're called to turn from sin and evil, from the patterns of this world, sex, money, power, control, and all that Satan uses to bind us up. But rather, we as Christians are called to live into the renewal of our minds, being transformed by Jesus. And what's the result? What's the result of being renewed in our minds and transformed by Jesus? Well, we find out that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I remember the first time I encountered these verses. I can picture where that house is on a map. My wife and I had just joined a small group of people that were our age. They had kids our same age, and we had a Bible study with them. We met at their house, and I remember sitting down with Sean and Lori and many of the others, and I remember reading this text. And I remember thinking to myself, what a challenge this whole Christian life thing is going to be. What an awesome challenge. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what about the living sacrifice part? Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is going to be an interesting challenge, this whole Jesus thing. I remember it being profound. Like, where do I even start? How do I even do that? The renewing of my mind, living as a sacrifice. How does that work out? What does that look like? Well, here is the challenge. What that looks like, being a living sacrifice, the renewing of our minds. Well, first off, it's a daily walk kind of thing. It's a day-by-day kind of thing. I ran into a guy at the community table on Friday, and this fellow has dementia. And he's at a place where he knows he has dementia and is able to talk about it some, but then he'll forget that conversation after a few minutes. But I was talking with him, and we talked about one day at a time. That's how he deals with it, one day at a time. And that's what this whole Christian walk thing takes too. One day at a time. But what does the renewing of our minds look like? We renew our minds by embracing the teachings of Scripture. We renew our minds by embracing the teachings of Scripture. We are called to know this word well enough that we can apply it to our lives. We're called to explore it and look for answers to our questions. We're called to do this with other Christians. Like what my wife and I were able to do with Sean and Lori, we sat down and had Bible studies. This is the kind of thing that we are called to do. Embrace the teachings of Scripture. That's one step on the journey to being able to, as Paul puts it here, test and approve what God's will is. We are called to renew our minds by humbling ourselves. By humbling ourselves. This means no looking down on fellow Christians. No looking down on that neighbor who kind of knows Jesus, but you're not quite sure. And no looking down on the neighbor who flat out hates Jesus. We are called to have a humble attitude, not be arrogant. In fact, if we want to live life like Jesus lived, we are called to associate with people of low position and low standing, to be friends with sinners and tax collectors, as Jesus was. So, renew your minds by embracing the teachings of Scripture. Renew your minds by humbling yourselves. And renew your minds by being connected to a body of Christ, to the church. Not just coming on Sunday and leaving right away, but developing real personal connections with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called here to get to know one another. And each of us can do a better job of reaching out and working on what it means to make friends. I don't know about you, but the older I get, it seems like the harder it is to make friends. When you're a little kid, you have instant buddies wherever you go. But as an adult, it's tough. We have to work on it. What does it mean for us to make friends? So, renew your minds by being connected with the body of Christ, the church. We are also called to renew our minds by using the gifts that God has given us. And we have some of those listed here in this passage. When it comes to preaching, preach in accordance with the faith. When it comes to serving, whether that be leading songs, being part of the soundboard team, decorating, working in the kitchen, being part of the mission team, helping to provide food like we did yesterday. Use the gifts that God has given you. Or maybe yours is teaching. Teach if you can teach. And do so with sound doctrine and integrity. Maybe yours is encouraging. Encourage others. I know I had a lot of encouragement. I remember Connie Hogeveen. She came up to my wife and I and said, "Hey, I think that you guys could lead a small group." And we thought, well, sure. We've never done this before, but let's do it. So if you have some gifts of encouraging, be an encourager. Giving. If you have the gift of giving, be generous, as God has been generous to you. If you are called and gifted with taking care of the needs of others, do so. Be with and help the poor and the widows, the sick and the imprisoned. Leadership. If you're called to leadership, today we're going to be installing a few. Do a good job of leading. And then finally, in our list here from Romans, mercy. If you have gifts of incredible mercy, show people grace. Show people grace. What Paul, the writer of this letter, is showing us that this transformation, this renewal of our minds, this becoming living sacrifices, this is transformation at the deepest level. And this is us changed, so that we live a life that is pleasing to God. We live a life with and in line with Jesus. And we live a life through the power of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the will of God, the more we know Jesus, the less God's will be a great mystery or hidden thing to us. Like Paul says, with this kind of life, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let us join together in prayer.